Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
This episode is brought to you by Cheese State University. Cheese State University was created for dedicated cheese professionals seeking to deepen their knowledge, sharpen their skills, and build connections. Join them in the Ivy League of cheese education at cheesestateuniversity.com.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, food writer and director with the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from Brooklyn, New York. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every Dillon supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, and I try to demystify it in this program with my two guests. And my guest today is Naoko Takemura, who is a chef and owner of Toiro Kitchen. She is an expert of doname, or Japanese traditional earthen cookware, and through Toiro Kitchen, Naoko introduces global food lovers to the world of donabe. She is also the co-author of Donabe, Classic and Modern Japanese Clay Pot Cooking, published by 10 Speed Press. Donabe has a long history and has been an important part of Japanese food culture. Naoko is a precious figure to learn from all about donabe. So today we'll discuss what exactly donabe is, how superior donabe is compared to other cookware, how to choose the right donabe for you, and handy donabe recipes to try, and much, much more. But before we start, Japan is available on Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, or Spotify, whichever you listen to, and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate feedback. Now let's start a conversation with Naoko Takemura. Hello, Naoko-san. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Akiko-san. Nice to see you.
Hey, great to see you. So, yeah, I read your book, and I always wanted to speak with you really lengthy, deeply. So I've been looking forward to today. So first of all, to get to know you, where are you from and what did you eat when you grew up?
Yes, I was born in Yokohama in Japan and grew up in Tokyo. And as I grew up, I would say I was exposed to just a really wide variety of cuisine. But first of all, at home, I was really fortunate that my mom was such an amazing cook, and she really every day she made just really wonderful dishes. Of course, a lot of traditional Japanese dishes. You know, of course, it comes with rice, miso soup, you know, grilled fish, and different kinds of you know, like small dishes. And of course, our family did a lot of hot pot. And when we visited grandparents' home, my grandma was also an amazing cook. So I was really exposed to a lot of really wonderful home-cooked dishes. And at the same time, my dad, he was working in a kind of editing room at the publisher, and he was kind of like a... He was once told like Mr. Gourmet by his friends and stuff. So a lot of people say like, oh, you know, your dad knows all the restaurants in Tokyo. Of course, that's not true because there are, you know, thousands of restaurants in Tokyo. But he was like the kind of guy who loves to go out and it's just, you know, eat a lot of different wonderful dishes from high end to like street food. So he really loved taking me and my sister out to just expose us to all different kinds of foods. So we did have sometimes like a street ramen, you know, vendor. to like a nice sit-down French dinners. So I was really fortunate to have experienced all that.
Right. So food is running through your, as your DNA in your, both families.
Yes. Yes. Big time.
Right. So then when and why did you move to the U.S.?
Yes, I moved to the U.S., to Los Angeles in 2001. Before that, in the late 90s, I was in the music industry. I worked for a record company, and I worked with international bands, stuff like that. And through my work, especially, back in the late 90s, the record industry was actually, you know, it was before the internet, you know, the streaming and stuff. So, and especially the company I worked for, by the way, it was EMI. The company was just really like, just, you know, a lot of hit music and a lot of bands are coming. So we were going out all the time. And my bosses, they loved great wines, great food. So again, luckily, through my career, you know, I was not in the food industry, but I wine and dined so much. And then I started to feel like, okay, the nice wines, you know, nice, you know, particularly expensive wines taste really good. And why is that? You know, so I started to get into wine so much. So I went to Wine Academy in Tokyo, and I got the wine expert certificate by the Japan Sommelier Association eventually. And also all different foods I tried, I just really made me get more interested in not just the food to eat, but for cooking. So I decided maybe I just take a year out of like everything and then just learn like professional cooking just for myself, not necessarily to work in the, you know, the actual restaurant kitchen. And then, so I decided to move to the U.S. and there was a school, Cordon Bleu, in Pasadena, in neighbor of Los Angeles. And so I went there to just learn 1 year there. And a lot of people asked me, like, why didn't you go to France, you know, Paris, if you want to learn like a real like French cooking or fine dishes. But I just love the diversity of Los Angeles. And because by then I have visited Los Angeles multiple times, I just really, really love the kind of like a, you know, melting pot culture there. And also, back then I already spoke, pretty decent English. So, and I didn't speak any French. So I'm like, yeah, LA would be just perfect. So, so that's why, yeah, that's why I came to the US.
Right. So, because your theme is donabe, your whole life now devoted to donabe. So we'll discuss how you got into that in a moment. But what exactly is donabe?
Yeah. So donabe is a Japanese word, and it literally means clay pot. And donabe's do means clay, and nabe means pot. And for Japanese people, it's like a national cookware because we cook a lot of dishes in donabe, but especially, most famously, like hot pot dishes to serve at the table and people surround donabe and enjoy.
Right. So it's a symbolic of a community,
yes,
of a family to friends and anything to share with friends. So it's just
yes,
it's not just only cookery, like equipment, but something to connect people. So that's really donabe.
And yes.
Right. Okay. So I know we have a donabe in Japan for years. So what's the history of donabe?
So there's no like written known origin of donabe, but you know, if you go back the Japanese history, there are clay pots already made like, you know, more than 10,000 years ago, and then, you know, it started to become a little more refined. But for different pottery producing regions in Japan, including the place called Iga in Japan, that's kind of central Japan, that's where the donabe I use is made. And so those regions, they have been making pottery for over 1300 years. And especially this region called Iga, their clay is really special because the region itself used to be bed of Lake Biwa about 4 million years ago. And the clay, for making donabe there, is the clay from there. So the clay contains a lot of fossilized microorganisms. And so it's once you fire it, shape it fire, it becomes really porous. And then the clay, you know, a lot of clay vessels can be kind of a little bit fragile over heat. But clay from such regions, they're really durable because it's really porous. And then once you put on the fire for cooking, it builds the heat really slowly, but it stays hot for a long time. And so historically, you know, people knew like hundreds of years ago, things cooked in donabe somehow tasted good, but they didn't really know why. But, you know, in the recent years, the reason was scientifically proven that it's really the porous body, how it builds the heat slowly and stays hot. And then once you turn off the heat, especially for like stewy dishes, it cools down really slowly. That's when flavor like umami flavors develops. And so I think that's how people kind of knew donabe is really good for cooking and kind of attached to Japanese culture.
Interesting. So it's very ingredient driven, not just the food ingredient,
yes.
But how it's made. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
And we discussed that donabe is important as a connecting point, but how did donabe become your culinary theme of your life?
Right. Yeah. So, of course, you know, as I grew up, donabe was something just so, you know, just like really old. It was always there. And it was, you know, almost like air, you know, like it's always there. And then we did a lot of donabe dishes. So I didn't think anything of it. And because it's just, you know, it was already there. And then, of course, I love donabe dishes, but I didn't pay particular attention to donabe. But then after I moved to to LA, I started to realize that, you know, first of all, after I moved here, Japanese food was already quite popular. You know, of course, sushi, tempura, and ramen became popular also. But then I realized that the Japanese home cooking, home cooking dishes, are not so known in LA or other cities. I heard, And then when I talked to my American friends, they said, like, oh, it's just, you know, too exotic, or like, oh, Japanese food must be so difficult to make. And so I was like, oh, wow, I need to demystify that. And then I also realized that because after I moved here, the first thing I purchased really kind of inexpensive donabe from like a Japanese market here. But I was like, donabe is like my essential item. And then, you know, I realized that, wow, it's not, you know, people don't even know donabe here. But even after I moved here, I was like inviting people and doing like, you know, donabe hot pot dishes all the time. And then everybody's like, wow, you know, what is this? It's so good. And so I really wanted to, you know, do something about like just really bring the joy of cooking through Japanese home cooking. And I thought donabe would be perfect. But at around the same time, in one of the trips back to Japan, I tasted the rice cooked in this particular donabe made by the eighth generation family pottery producer called Nagatanien from Iga in Japan. And the rice cooked in this particular donabe they produce just tasted just so unbelievable. And I almost, you know, cried because the rice tasted so good. Yeah. And then I was like, wow, you know, yeah. And then I realized that, yes, donabe is not really just not the hot pot. Yes, rice is amazing, donut bean, there's so many different things. So that's why, that's how kind of I started to feel like, okay, I really want to, you know, bring donut bean to people outside of Japan.
Right. So for listeners who've never seen donabe or how it's used, basically, it's very common for a Japanese table. You have a portable heating equipment, like from gas or electricity. Yes. And then you put the clay pot, donabe, on top of it. And it's a very communal experience. You can make the pot together, or it's really personal. It's a funny story. So it really indicates your personality. So some people get really bossy about, you put this now. Right. And some people just look and wait for the food to be made. So, so it's just a very communal gathering experience, not just eating great food. So, that's funny that you did in LA. People started liking it regardless of where you're from. So in 2008, you started a company called Toiro Kitchen. So what is Toiro Kitchen?
Yes, it's actually just Toiro. And I call it, Toiro is the company name, and Toiro Kitchen Supply. But yeah, a lot of people just call it Toiro Kitchen. So either way, it's fine. Toiro, So I contacted the producer Nagatani M, and then I asked, you know, if I can start importing their donabe, and I told them that, you know, I have no experience in, like, you know, import export, and I have never done, like, a, you know, distribution or retail or none of that, but they're really kind enough to say, like, well, we have never done exporting either, you know, back then. And like, okay, so maybe we can just try and we can both learn. And so that's how kind of started.
Interesting. Yeah, so as far as I learned, so you are a U.S. representative of this company called Nagatani M, which amazingly have a history, long history. It founded in 1832 in Iga region in Japan. So they never did an export, and you just happened to headhunt them to be the first export of that original product. So that's an amazing story, because you fell in love with the product, and I'm sure they were so proud to do it. So So through Toiro, you sell donabe from this company, Nagatani. And do you have any other scope of the business? Do you have any products?
Yes. Yeah. So I started, when I started, you know, I just had a small, like, handmade website. I made the website, like, really so primitive style. And then I was just, having the donabe shop online, and I started with just one donabe, the rice cooker, and then eventually started to grow the collection of donabe, and then I was shipping out of my basement. like that. But then I started doing cooking classes, and then it was really by word of mouth the my business started to grow, and long story short, eventually it got to the point that, you know, I cannot just, you know, work out of my home. So, and then also I started to hear lots of great feedback from people who use donabe, and they're like, you know, we wanna experience more donabe cooking. We wanna experience more, like, donabe, like, made me more interested in other things about Japan. And then my passion started to grow even bigger. And like, I wanna really introduce a lot of different wonderful artisanal products from Japan, and to showcase the Japanese craftsmanship. And then I really wanted to kind of bring joy to people. And so I started to expand, first of all, the collection of donabe cookware. And then I started to import different kinds of Japanese kitchen tools, cookware, and tableware, from all over Japan, and all made by artisans. And And they're just really just amazing to not many things are just not just only amazing to look at, but they are all meant for everyday use. And then many items are for to enjoy for many, many years. The very beginning when I named my company Toiro, so there was a really like my passion and my concept was there. Toiro in Japanese means 10 colors, and it comes from the phrase, Japanese phrase, junin toiro. Junin toiro literally translates into 10 people, 10 colors. And the loose translation to English is like different strokes for different people, different strokes for different folks. So to me, the idea is like if there are 10 different people with 10 different backgrounds, you know, can be, you know, the age or culture, nationality, ethnicity, any of that. And then you use the same item, and there are 10 different ways to enjoy. And like Donabe, like I carry Donabe not just to promote like Japanese cooking. Yes, you know, I do have one of my missions is to introduce wonderful Japanese dishes and the recipes, but that's not everything. And I want people to enjoy the donabe and then just apply your own techniques or your own cultural background and then make it into your own dishes. And so that's why I named my company Toiro. Yes.
Now let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into how donabe can improve the taste of your food. So please stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Cheese State University. Cheese State University was created for dedicated cheese professionals seeking to deepen their knowledge, sharpen their skills, and build connections.
It feels like a gift to be able to give this gift to people because I know that from my own experiences, I know how valuable, consolidated, incredible training resources are.
They offer an in-depth education on all things cheese, as well as an active network for peer support and career development.
You can pop over to the Quad, which is our social networking and engagement app. And so that's a really fun and dynamic aspect of Cheese State University.
Cheese State's three-part course is designed for seasoned pros and entry-level mongers alike and covers all the skills one needs to perform on the cheese counter.
The structure of Cheese State University is all based on the Cheese State University Field Guide. And that is a three-volume resource. It's all digital, online.
At the end of the course, students will be ready to ace the field guide assessment and earn their Cheese State Scholar Certificate.
Another resource is a video series where we tackle sort of like these thornier questions that you can get on the cheese counter, like what is rennet and like why is this cheese so expensive and can pregnant people even eat cheese?
At Cheese State, you're among experts, you're among scholars, you're among cheese lovers, and most importantly, you are a monger. Join them in the Ivy League of Cheese Education at cheesestateuniversity.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats on HRN, Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Aki Katayama. My guest today is Naoko Takemura, who is a chef and owner of Toiro. She's an expert in donabe, or Japanese traditional earthen cookware. And through Toiro, Naoko introduces global food lovers to the world of donabe. So let's talk more about donabe. And there are many types of pots to cook food from, iron to ceramics, you name it. So what is the advantage of using donabe?
I would say it's, as I mentioned briefly, the porous body of the clay. So donabe, you know, it doesn't heat up quickly. So you set the donabe over the flame, and it builds the heat kind of slowly. But once it builds the heat, it stays hot for a long time. And also, it promotes the even heat distribution. So that's one of the advantages. And if you're making, donabe is especially great for not just for hot pot, but for slow cooking, like stewy dishes. It's because after you turn off the heat, it stays hot for a long time. And so the real slow cool down process helps the ingredients to bring up more of the umami flavors.
Right. So then instead of for iron pot that goes heats up very quickly and cools down quickly, donabe is slower in both ways. So that really makes everything kind of the heat permeates deeper and also the flavor goes in at the same
time. Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes. And to be more specific, I heard that the donabe is superior to other pots because of the its far infrared wavelengths. So could you tell us how it works?
Yeah, so donabe, it normally has the glaze outside of the body, sometimes inside the body too. And so the glaze promotes the far infrared the rays or wavelengths. And so it gives kind of like the same effect as if you can imagine like a charcoal cooking. It's not just the heat of the flame is cooking the ingredient, but the you know you see the red light the glow of the charcoal that penetrates into the more penetrates deeper into the ingredients and then heat inside. So donabe has kind of similar effect to that. And so just by cooking in the donabe, and you are cooking not just from the heat from the flame, but from the glaze, which is promoting the far infrared rays.
Interesting. So I heard what it works, how it works is it's actually the same kind of way as the microwave oven, but a microwave oven can kind of shake all those the like cells of water in food, but I heard that the donabe can actually vibrate the actual fat and protein within the food, so it's more direct effect to heat up what you're cooking. So it's more gentle, but also it's deeper than microwave, although it's just the same infrared that you use to cook.
Right. So, yeah.
So it's, well, it's hard to imagine how things work, but to me, donabe is such a, you know, cute design, very warm. You feel like touching it when you see it. And then, you know, the microwave oven, that's like a very electric thing, but the same technology works in two different equipment. Yeah. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So speaking of that warmth, the design of donabe, so on your website, you discuss the idea of wabi-sabi and donabe, and I thought it was fascinating. So could you elaborate on them?
Yeah, sure. So wabi-sabi, it's a Japanese phrase. It refers to like it's like an imperfect beauty. And so we have the Japanese, appreciation for Japanese people in our culture is not always like a perfect looking things. And we like the, you know, especially handcrafted items, the shape can be uneven. And also with the donabe, like a glaze or the texture can be uneven. And that's something like we really appreciate. And so it's like the imperfect beauty. And also with donabe, because donabe is a cookware meant to be used, you know, every day or as often as you like. And so the more you use it, you know, it start to grow patina, you know, so outside body start to get darker, and also the inside, you start to see like small crackles, like a little, like a tiny veins. And this is in Japanese called kanyu. And so it started to kind of have its own characters. And sometimes, you know, because it's clay, you know, as you use it over and over, sometimes you kind of bump it into something and then you get, you know, it get chipped here and there. But, you know, we don't care too much of it. You know, we just think it's like, oh, it's growing its, you know, more character. And so overall, we call it like wabi-sabi beauty, and it becomes more personal. And also because Donave is earthenware, and so it really kind of gives the great energy from the earth. And so all, you know, all combined, I call it wabi-sabi beauty.
Well, I thought it was really amazingly beautiful. And wabi-sabi is a very common term, and all Japanese people know it, but mm-hmm. it's hard to define. But basically, mm-hmm. Brand new, everything shiny, pretty, cute, young, all those things are amazing. But over time, it ages and it adds value. Mm-hmm. That's the idea of it. So I felt like mm-hmm. I have to get a new donabe by reading your explanation mm-hmm. on your website. So, mm-hmm. okay. So I heard you suggest people cook rice in donabe. So how can donabe mm-hmm. improve the taste of rice?
Yes. So, you know, you can cook rice in any, you know, there are different kinds of donabe, you know, designed for specific modes of cooking, but basically you can cook rice in any donabe, and you can make really amazing rice. And again, it's the porous body is the key. So to cook the really premium quality rice, the slow heating process is the really the key. So because donabe naturally builds the heat slowly, and that's really, really important. And also donabe is porous. And so during cooking, it literally breathes in and out of the air, and it also controls the moisture level. And then after you turn off the heat, it cools down really slowly. And the result is a really shiny rice, and then you can really see and taste the each grain. And then the outside is kind of slightly chewy. And then once you sink your teeth in, and the natural like sweet flavors of the rice kind of really, you know, expands inside of your mouth. And just talking about it like makes me salivate because I love donut rice so much.
Right. Yes. Interesting. And you just pretty kind of indicated that Japanese people enjoy just rice itself. And in other yes. cuisine, like Indian curry or something like that, mm-hmm. and rice seems to be a background or some supporting actor. But in Japan, mm-hmm. we are so obsessed to cook rice perfectly as the right. single main uh-huh. actor. So donabe mm-hmm. is the perfect
totally.
Equipment, right?
Yes.
Okay. So could you maybe share with our listeners some of your favorite donabe recipes other than rice?
Mm. Yes. So of course, you know, hot pot dishes are so, you know, it's just so essential, you know, cooking with donabe. And we call it yosenabe. Yosenabe basically means anything goes. And so to me, like, yeah, one of the most frequent dishes I make in donabe is yosenabe. So it's basically you see what I have in the fridge or in the pantry, and then just cook in the broth. Common items are like napa cabbage, tofu, and seaweed, like wakame. And I love cooking fish, like black cod is always good. And you can just cook in a light dashi, that's fine. Or you can season it with soy sauce or sometimes miso flavors. So they're all like, you know, you can make it into your own way, different styles. Or sometimes you can just make it without seasoning, just in dashi, and then you enjoy with a dipping sauce. You know, it can be your homemade ponzu or store purchase, any dipping sauces. So that's really good. And also for everyday cooking, because, you know, Japanese people love miso soup. Miso soup made in donabe, especially to me, it just tastes just so good. And if you have family and then they have different, you know, kind of like a time schedule, but if you cook miso soup in the donabe, it stays hot for a long time, so you don't have to reheat over and over, and that flavor of the miso stays kind of fresh too. So, but yeah, there are so many different things. And then the stewing in donabe is great because donabe can go into the oven. You can cook like beans for slow cooking. For the New Year's, I like cooking like black beans, Japanese black beans, taking like almost 8 hours just in the oven. So you can just put the beans and the water in the oven and just kind of forget about it for the next hours. So the donabe is really, really versatile.
Mm, interesting, right? You can put it in the oven. You can just put it straight on gas heat or the electric heat. And it's porous, but it's very strong. So that's very handy. Once you have it, you can easily make anything. Like yosenabe is basically, like you said, you can put anything and any leftover in your fridge. You can have amazing, very nourishing food. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for our listeners who are interested in trying donabe cooking, do you have any tips on how to choose the right donabe?
Yes. So if you're looking for your first donabe, I would suggest that just a classic style donabe. So it's basically like a bowl and a lid, like a casserole style, because it's extremely versatile. And to me, it's really essential. I use it basically every single day. And then you can think about the size. Are you looking for something to cook for your family or something to cook just a small dish? For like a quick lunch for yourself every day. And so according to that, you can decide the size. But if you already have like a specific interest of cooking style, for example, if you really just want to achieve the most amazing quality rice, there's a donabe rice cooker. You can use it for, hot pot, other things too. But the donabe rice cooker is designed so that the body is about one and a half times thicker than regular donabe. It comes with an inner lid, so it works almost like a pressure cooker. So as a result, you can get like really amazing quality rice without having to change the heat level during cooking. Or there's if you like steaming, there's a donabe steamer. So it's basically looks like a classic style donabe, but comes with a steam grate, the insert. And then actually the shape is designed so that you can cook steam dishes at the shorter time and then with really good flavors. And so there are, a wide variety of different kinds of donabe. But the most important thing is most donabe, they can share the purposes of if you want to do hot pot soup stew, and if you get a donabe with just enough depth in the bowl and the lid, you can do all of these dishes. So any donabe you choose I hope and I'm sure will make you happy.
Right. The actual tactile feeling of clay pot is so nice. And also a lot of them, all of them are very well designed and you feel like owning it and even put it somewhere visibly.
Yeah,
shining in your kitchen. So it's really nice to have maybe even the donabe for one person to four person to. It's really very charming cookware that you want to look into once and take a look. Right. So, and for listeners who wants to know more about donabe, I really found your book very, very informative. So your book is titled. Yeah, so Donabe, Classic and Modern Japanese Clay Pot Cooking. And you wrote this with Kyle Connaughton, who is well-respected chef and the owner of the famed 2-Michelin-starred Single Thread Farm Restaurant Inn in Hillsborough, California. And he was even nominated as a finalist for the Best Chef California by the James Beard Foundation, which is the Oscars of culinary world, happened last week. So it's interesting. I know Kyle has Japanese background. Maybe you can just explain why you ended up writing a donabe book with Kyle Connaughton.
Yeah, so we've been friends for over 20 years now. When I first came to to LA to go to the culinary school. He was a chef instructor there. And that's where we met and we became friends. And then we've been friends ever since, him and his wife and family. So we've been really good friends. And then when I started my Donabe business, he and his wife were like fully supportive of me. And then he started to use many of my Donabe. And then we kind of decided like, oh, maybe like we do the book together. So that's kind of how it happened. So it's basically, I wrote the book and then Kyle submitted his recipes and he also connected with other famous restaurant chefs and they also submit the recipes so that the book has like my home style dishes and the chefs, you know, some chefs' recipes combined. So that's how it happened. Yeah.
Right. Amazing. I mean, the Kyle's background is interesting. So he, of course, after studying together with you, the Golden Blue, he even worked for Michel Brass when this famous French chef opened a place in Hokkaido and Kyle was working for him in Japan. And also very, very innovative restaurant, the Fat Duck in Bray, England. He worked with Heston Blumenthal, right, who's really like the molecular king. So... I really thought it was interesting that donabe is such a traditional classic Japanese dish. And then, you know, someone so global like Kyle really appreciated the value of the donabe with you. So, yeah, I thought it was really nice. I had to mention it because it's fascinating.
Yes. Yeah. That's great.
Okay. So what are your plans for the future?
Oh my gosh.
That's a big question.
Yeah, great question. But of course, I think my passion is just always like growing bigger and bigger. And every day, what makes me so happy is like, you know, I get contacted by emails or, you know, social media and people who tried donabe or, you know, my recipes and, you know, and they tell me how happy they are. And some of them, you know, they say like they had never been, they had never cooked with donabe or Japanese food before. They got the donabe from Toiro. And then now, you know, they're so obsessed. And, you know, hearing things like that just makes me so happy. And then the joy of donabe is really expanding kind of globally. I receive comments and from people from different countries too, so it's really like for the future, I really want to just keep spreading the gospel of, you know, donabe cooking, and so for that I think I want to create more contents and videos and also I'd like to do like more events, other things through Toiro. But it's just the challenge is always the time is so limited every day, you know, so busy. But I think I like to do more to connect with a wider audience in the future. And also make Toiro more like a nice community for people who enjoy food, not just the Japanese cuisine, but like a culture exchange place.
Mm, right, that's amazing. So like we discussed earlier, once you surround donabe and there's some community instantly is born, it's more than barbecue party because you're really bound to one surrounding one pot and you have a communication, you share the food naturally, and it's a really amazing superior cookware, but also I think that communal element is very important. And once you own donabe, you want to invite people, have a party, little party.
Yes.
And that really connects people. So yeah, I think you're carrying that value to the world.
Yeah, I think so.
Right. So, okay. So where can we find your updates online and on social media?
So I have my own, first of all, Toiro has its website, toirokitchen.com. And we constantly have like new items, and we have different collections, and so I hope you can check it out. And also I have my Instagram account. My account name is Mrs. Donave. And yes, and my company Toyo has its own Instagram account, Toyo Kitchen. And also I have a YouTube channel. I need to update with more videos soon, but it's Happy Donave Life. So it's really that the theme is bring the happy Donave life and happy Donave lifestyle to people. And like you mentioned, it's Donave is really just not the cookware, but it's really just the idea and the celebration of communal dining and people and, you know, can gather together and Donave can connect people and then create the conversation. So that's really the theme of Donave cooking.
Mm. Hey, amazing. So good luck and keep me posted. So yeah, it would be really amazing that, you know, maybe half of American or the global family has, the household has Donave and their life probably is going to be a better place.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, thank you so much for joining us today, Nako.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. Thank you so much, Akiko-san.
All right. So hopefully we'll meet somewhere and share Donave dish sometime in the near future.
Yes,
that'd be fun.
Let's make it happen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@theheritageradionetwork.org or akikokatema.com. Japan Needs is a weekly program and is always available at heritageradionetwork.org as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Our engineer is Armin Spenjan, and thank you for listening. I will see you next week. Japan Needs is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Aweli, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries, like why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode. Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.